Hi, this is Wayne Zell, and welcome back to Power of Attorney Radio, brought to you by the full-service law firm of Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman. For more information on the firm, visit us on the web at www.ofplaw.com. Also, I invite you to subscribe to my blog, blueprintforwealth.org. Put three W's in front of that and dial it up for tax, estate planning, and business planning topics of interest. In this segment, we're going to be talking about recent developments that may affect your tax situation, particularly developments that have occurred in the first and second quarters of 2013. First, Obamacare. Employer health care reporting and mandate payments are postponed until 2015. On July the 2nd, The Obama administration announced on the White House and Treasury websites that it will provide one additional year until January 1st of 2015 before mandatory employer and insurer reporting requirements under Obamacare begin. Since it's going to make it impractical to determine what employers do not provide minimum essential health care coverage and therefore would owe shared responsibility payments under the new code sections, transition relief is also being extended for those payments. Next, the Congressional Research Service recently issued a report outlining the required functions of the health insurance exchanges under Obamacare. Under the Act, qualified individuals and small businesses are able to purchase private health insurance through exchanges set up by states or by the Federal Health and Human Services Agency, or HHS. The initial enrollment period for all exchanges begins on October 1st, 2013, and all exchanges are required to be operational and offering coverage by January 1st of 2014. These exchanges are required to carry out a number of functions. Among them, it includes determining eligibility and enrolling individuals in the appropriate plans. Health plans that are offered through these exchanges will provide comprehensive coverage and meet the private market reforms that are required under Obamacare. To make exchange coverage more affordable, qualifying individuals will receive premium assistance in the form of tax credits. The CRS report provides detailed explanations of these exchanges and the coverage that will be offered through them. Next, guidance on required employer notices on healthcare coverage options. Beginning on January the 1st, individuals and employees of small businesses will have access to affordable healthcare coverage through a new competitive private health insurance market called the Health Insurance Marketplace. Certain employers have to provide written notice to employees about health insurance coverage options available through this marketplace. A government agency has provided the following guidance on the notice requirements and has issued sample notices that you can use. First, who has to provide these notices? Well, they have to be provided by any employer to whom the Fair Labor Standards Act applies. Generally, this means an employer that employs one or more employees who are engaged in or produce goods for interstate commerce. For most firms, the rule doesn't apply if they have less than $500,000 in annual revenue. Who has to receive the notices? Employers have to provide a notice to each employee regardless of plan enrollment status or of part-time or full-time status. Employers do not have to provide a separate notice to dependents or other individuals who may become eligible for coverage under the available plans but who are not employees. The form and content of the notice is also specified in this notice. And when do you have to deliver it? Well, employers, those of you that are listening out there, you must provide the notice to each new employee at the time of hiring, beginning October 1st of 2014. A notice is considered to be provided at the time of hiring if it's provided within 14 days of the employee's start date. Next, final regulations fill in some statutory gaps on the indoor tanning tax. Remember, when Obamacare was enacted, one of the ways in which they paid for Obamacare was to enact an excise tax on indoor tanning salons. Well, the IRS issued final regs on the health reform legislation's 10% excise tax, which was essentially applied to indoor tanning services provided on or after July 1st of 2010. The regulations address some practical considerations that might not have been thought about when the law was drafted. For example, they talk about prepayments for tanning services and services provided as part of a gym membership. The IRS had treated previously issued regulations as temporary regulations, and these are now final regs. In the area of retirement benefits and retirement accounts, individuals' guarantees of loans to a company owned by their IRAs were prohibited transactions as found by the tax court. What do I mean? The U.S. tax court held that a taxpayer's guarantee of loans to a company, the stock of which was held by their IRA, to purchase another company's assets were prohibited transactions under the tax laws. As a result, the accounts ceased to be tax-exempt IRAs, and the taxpayers were liable for tax on the capital gains realized on the later sale of the company's stock. The individuals argued their personal guarantees weren't prohibited transactions because they covered loans to an entity that was owned by the IRAs, rather than a loan to the IRAs themselves. But the tax court found that each of the individual's personal guarantees of the company loans was an indirect extension of credit to the IRA, which is prohibited under the tax laws. The 60-day rollover rule was waived for individuals with medical impairments. There's no immediate tax if a distribution is made from a traditional IRA and rolled over into an IRA or other eligible retirement plan within 60 days of receipt of the distribution. Many of you have had to experience that, I'm sure. A distribution that's rolled over after the 60-day period generally is taxed and also could be subject to a 10% premature withdrawal penalty tax. But the IRS has the power to waive this 60-day rule if the individual suffers a casualty or a disaster or other event beyond his or her reasonable control. And not waiving the 60-day rule would be against equity or fairness or good conscience. In other words, it's a hardship waiver. In a recent letter ruling that was issued by the IRS, it waived the 60-day rollover requirement for one taxpayer who withdrew funds from her IRA and failed to timely roll the amounts over due to medical conditions that impaired her ability to manage her financial affairs. In other words, she was found to be incapacitated or disabled, unable to manage her property and financial affairs. Well, the 60-day rule was waived. Also, there was a recent ruling relating to undoing a mistaken IRA Roth conversion. There were taxpayers, including married persons filing separately, who may have converted erroneously. Well, the rule is that you may convert amounts in a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA, but the conversion is taxable when you do that, right? So if you want to get the benefits of a Roth IRA, you've got to pay the toll charge, and that's paying the income tax on the conversion. If you had tax basis in the IRA because you had made some non-deductible contributions to it, the conversion would be includable in your gross income only to the extent that the converted amount exceeds your tax basis. A recharacterization election allows you as a taxpayer to treat a traditional IRA to Roth IRA conversion as if it never had been made. This is sometimes done where the value of the assets in the account drops significantly after the conversion. Normally, the recharacterization has to be done no later than October 15th of the year after you exercise the conversion. But a taxpayer, in one case, was able to undo a conversion beyond this deadline when his attorney mistakenly told him he had a large basis and therefore a small taxable amount, when in fact he had zero basis in his IRA. The attorney confused the cost of the securities in the account with the taxpayer's actual basis, which was zero. The taxpayer got relief from the IRS after seeking it in a private letter ruling. Pretty cool, huh? Well, how about payroll taxes? What developments have occurred in the area of payroll taxes in the second quarter of 2013? Well, as you may know, and I've talked about on the show before, individuals with high earned income from wages or self-employment may want to consider whether they need to adjust their withholding allowances and/or estimated tax to take into account the additional 0.9% Medicare tax that applies for the first time in 2013. I'm sure many of you are seeing it take effect on your paychecks. Effective for tax years beginning after 2012, this additional 0.9% Medicare hospital insurance tax applies to individuals who receive wages from employment in excess of $200,000 or $250,000 for married couples who file jointly and only $125,000 for married couples filing separately. The tax is in addition to the regular Medicare rate of 1.45% on wages that are received by employees. The tax only applies to the employee portion of the Medicare tax. The employer Medicare tax rate remains at 1.45%, and the employer and employee Social Security tax remain at 6.2% on the first $113,700 of wages in 2013. This Medicare tax is also increased by an additional 0.9% of self-employment income that exceeds the thresholds that I just mentioned above. For employees, the additional 0.9% Medicare tax is collected through withholding on FICA wages that are in excess of the thresholds. In addition, employees may request additional income tax withholding on your Form W-4 and use that to apply against any additional Medicare tax that you incur. The employers are required to withhold additional Medicare tax on wages that are in excess of $200,000, regardless of your filing status or other income. The additional withholding applies in the pay period in which the employer pays wages in excess of $200,000 to an employee, and the employer is not required to notify the employee about the fact that it's taking out the additional withholding. Now, some of you should consider having more income tax withheld if you haven't had enough Medicare tax withheld. Remember that the additional 0.9% will not be withheld unless an employer and has recognized that you received more than $200,000 of wages from that particular company. So if you're earning wages from a variety of companies or you're doing consulting, remember that you need to either have your withholdings increased or pay an additional estimated tax. That's just a good, sound advice for all of you out there who are facing this new Medicare tax for the first time. In the area of home and investments, there is a case that recently came down in the tax court where the couple wanted to deduct mortgage interest that was added to principal but weren't allowed to. So this is what we call a negative amortization loan, where the couple is denied a mortgage interest deduction for unpaid interest that was added to principal. Since they reported their taxes on the cash method of accounting, like most individuals do, the couple were not allowed to deduct the interest because they didn't pay it, even though it was added to principal. The IRS also wanted to impose a penalty on them, but the tax court refused to do so. Last but not least, the IRS provided annual inflation-adjusted contribution, deductible, and out-of-pocket expense limits for 2014 for health savings accounts. Many of you use these to set aside funds to pay for medical expenses that otherwise wouldn't be covered. Employers, as well as other persons, family members, also may contribute on behalf of an eligible individual. For 2014, the limit on deductions is $3,300, up from $3,250 in 2013 for an individual with self-only coverage. It's $6,550 for an individual with family coverage under a covered plan. Well, that about wraps up my second quarter update on taxes. And if you've got questions about taxes, call me, Wayne Zell, at 703-218-2177. And I thank you so much for listening to Power of Attorney Radio. Tune in next week for another topic, another host, and another guest on Power of Attorney Radio.